Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And this is Kate.
Today's cast, the world's best feedback organization, part one of one.
The questions this cast answers are, how do great organizations deliver feedback? How do sports stars receive and use feedback? How much feedback should I be giving my directs?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
October 8th and 9th, the M Conference is coming to Los Angeles. M Conference is one of our executive level events, and at M Conference, we focus on hearing from our community what has made them successful. This year, though, we're going to have some special Manager Tools 20th anniversary events and swag with a panel event hosted by our team. Come to the M Conference, learn from others who have achieved how they got there and what it takes to be great. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training. I'm excited about this podcast, although I know you are probably less excited than me because you're under the weather.
I am, but it's such a fun topic.
Yes, we're both big football fans, so we are excited. Sarah's probably going to sound a tiny bit like 1% less excited than me because she's 1% ill, at least.
Sorry, folks.
At least
1%. It's more than one, definitely.
Right, right. So feedback and the NFL.
Exactly.
Listen, y'all, if feedback is so important to high performance, and it is, then we figure it makes sense to study if and when and how the very best athletes get feedback about their performance, because the NFL is the world's best groups of athletes, right? Or like the Olympics, all this stuff. So we consider that the NFL is a place where some of the best athletes in the world exist or work. And hey, if you're thinking about it, okay, there's only 500 CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. That's truly rarefied air.
Yeah, that's not very many.
Okay, except compare that to, only 32 starting players at each position on each NFL team. So there are more than 10 times more of the world's very best CEOs than there are the very best starting quarterbacks, middle linebackers, centers, defensive ends, which I will say, as a person who has in the past said negative things about pay scales at the NFL, if there's only 32 of you in the whole world, I mean, then I think it might be okay if you're making a significant amount of money at it because there are so few. And look, y'all, even if you count all 11 starting players on offense or defense, there are still more Fortune 500 CEOs than starting offensive or defensive players in the NFL. It is harder to become a starting NFL player than it is to become a Fortune 500 CEO. And guess what? They get more feedback than CEOs do too.
Yeah, there are definitely connections between those rarefied individuals and NFL players. Far more feedback. To be the very best at anything, frankly, you have to work exceptionally hard. But hard work alone, it's not enough. There's an old saying, practice makes perfect. The idea, of course, being that the more practice you do, the harder you work, the better you get. But modern coaches will tell you that practice alone doesn't make perfect. Rather, as they say today, perfect practice makes perfect.
Ooh, so it's not enough to just spend your 1,000 hours. Or what is it, 10,000 hours? That's the old thing about like, if you spend 10,000 hours at something, you're an expert. It's not enough to just spend your hours. Those hours have to be done correctly.
Yeah.
And so we think of it this way. Two professionals, doesn't matter what they're doing, practicing their craft, both seem to work equally hard and fair play to them both. And one gets notably better while the other does not notably better. Why would that be? Because the one improving the most is learning what works and what doesn't, and discarding what doesn't, and using what does. Not enough to just do your 10,000 hours. You also have to be constantly moving into best practices.
Yeah, improvement cycle.
Yes, the improving player is learning from the feedback of maybe somebody else, but also their successes and failures, and applying the lessons of successes and failures to their play, their work, their efforts in order to improve.
That's exactly it. Folks, feedback is a fundamental principle at the heart of the competitive nature of the National Football League. When we watch an NFL game, we're seeing the best people in the world who play football, playing football, honing their craft, and the NFL makes them that way and better every year by making feedback intrinsic to their performance. NFL players are better than us at their job because they are constantly bathed in feedback. They can't do their job for a single second without getting feedback. And the rest of us are not bathed in feedback.
I'm going to get this out of the way now. I have some feedback for some NFL people.
Okay, go to town.
If you say you're retiring and then you unretire and you go somewhere else, that's not retiring. And I used to be such a fan of a particular coach. I would have said to you that they were my most favorite coach, and now they're not. And I don't think this person cares about whether or not I think they're my most favorite coach, but those are my words for them. And I also hope that their team doesn't win. That's my other thing.
Okay. All right. Ouch. Burn.
I know.
Manage your tools, burn.
I've said it so much more strongly other places, and I just am trying to be so nice because I really do love football and I really do love the NFL. And if you know me, you know I'm a Saints fan. And that's what happens when you raise a person in Texas and then they go to college in New Orleans at a place where at the time they didn't have football for the college. So there you go. Mm-hmm. We are not here to talk about my team, unfortunately, or people who desert my team and therefore don't deserve a winning record. Well, we're going to cover two things today instead. But if you would like to talk about football, you can send us a note at customer service and I will talk to you about it. We're going to talk about how the NFL uses feedback and then what it means for the rest of us. And it does not mean here's how to win at fantasy football, which I also don't know how to do because I've been banned from playing fantasy football.
Oh, wow. Okay. You have strong feelings.
My feelings are too strong and I'm not allowed to play. In any case, unless you have anybody want to include me in their fantasy football and isn't scared of my scary feelings, okay. That's not what we're here for. Let's talk about how the NFL uses feedback.
Exactly. Okay, folks, one of the core reasons its many fans like watching NFL is because they've mastered the art of giving feedback to every player who plays every single game. If you play for even a single play during a game, you are required to meet with your coach and go over that play afterward. And here's first how they do it.
Okay. So first, there's a camera that most of us don't have access to, which is so rude. I'm deeply upset by it. If anyone is listening who is in charge of what I'm allowed, what football games I'm allowed to watch, hear this. I will give you a lot of money every year for the rest of my life to be allowed to watch my team play their games and the All-22 camera, because that's what it's called. It's called the All-22. It shows all 22 players on the field for every play. And they don't let us look at it. And this is very sad. Okay. Up until very recently, All-22 footage was not available to anyone but NFL teams, the league, and corporate vendors who provide statistics and analysis for the NFL. We can now get it through a special and much more expensive subscription. I will note that doesn't always let me watch all of my team's games, that subscription, which is really upsetting. And I would love to live in New Orleans again so that I can watch my team, except that even if you live in the place where they are from, you can't watch all their games. It's rude. But again, if you want my money, okay. And as another aside, which it appears is my job today, from a viewing perspective, this camera is really important. Primarily because it shows the location of the defensive safeties. Safeties, the rearmost defenders, are not shown in standard broadcasts. To effectively allow the view we usually see, which is centered on the line of scrimmage, the broadcast view shows all of the offensive team, because they're usually closer to the line of scrimmage, but only some then of the defensive team. And the All-22, of course, shows you everybody. The reason they're showing us the offensive team line is because some of the defensive backs, the safeties, are too far away from the line of scrimmage to show them. And the camera we see would have to zoom out so much that then you lose the close-up view of the offensive play unfolding. So you wouldn't be able to clearly see the snap if we were looking at a view that showed the entire width of the field from that perspective. It's definitely a different view. That's not what people want to see. They want to see the action, et cetera. You know, the All-22 camera is really, it's an analysis tool. And from the perspective of a layman viewer, if you're watching, if you're just a regular viewer, what you want to see is the action, not the whole thing and, you know, the routes and all that necessarily. And if you've ever heard the broadcast analyst call the play before it starts, that's because he can see the position of the safeties, which affects lots of subtleties of the play calling. And of course, Tony Romo, who's a former quarterback, is most well known for this. His experience in this area is huge, right? He has all this experience. He can see the safeties and therefore can tell you what the play is from his lofty view, effectively, which of course does include the All-22 in the booth. It's not magic. It's having been involved for years and years and years and seeing the safeties, seeing the layout of the field, and knowing that there's a certain pretty common set of plays out there, right? And so if you've been involved in all these plays for so many years, you can look at the field and say, oh yeah, this is what they're going to do. This is what the route's going to look like. This is what we call that. It is truly his experience. And I will say, I think it is interesting that sometimes commentators don't get a ton of credit for their experience. It's partially, though, because of the limitations of the viewing. And we're not looking at the All-22. And we, if we did look at the All-22, in a lot of cases, wouldn't be able to tell what's going on there.
Yeah, we wouldn't know anyway.
Right. But the camera does, the All-22 camera does so much more than just provide a more strategic viewpoint. The All-22 camera is owned by the league, not by the broadcasting organization. Mm-hmm. The camera records every play of the game. Every player, every play is captured in high definition by this camera.
Mm-hmm. Now, folks, this camera obviously is recording. It's got every player, every game. And when the game is over, the recorded video is then beamed via a satellite, also owned by the NFL. Yes, they have their own satellite, to NFL headquarters in New York City. And overnight, that video is then processed by NFL servers, algorithms, AI, all of it, so that before sunup the next morning, video packages are sent to each team who played in the previous day's game. Video packages of each player's plays are sent to their position coach by the next morning, showing only the plays that that player played in.
So their 15 minutes or their 12 minutes or their 6 minutes, whatever.
Exactly. And it's not just the whole play. That video player's package sent to their coach is zoomed in on that player only. It's like a close-up view of just that one person.
Oh, man, I would love.
I know.
I want so much to see all of it.
I know. Unless you're the person being videoed, right? Zoomed in. Every play you make. What's more, the video zoomed in is sent in a way that has in the corner of the screen superimposed a picture-in-picture view, a smaller view of the entire play, so that when played on a screen in a way that allows the coach and player to have context of the entire play, as well as that one little individual zoomed in view of the player.
I would die to see this. I would be so excited. I would watch it for hours and hours and hours, which you would have to do because that's a million hours of tape. But it sounds amazing. And then I would have so many notes and none of them would be valuable because I am not qualified. Anyway, okay. So we've got this huge video package sent, whole game. Each player gets their own snippets. Their whole game time delivered to each player and the main video delivered. The day after the game, then, there are no physical practices because the players are all physically recovering from the game, which they absolutely need to do. And during this day of rest, if you will, each player sits down with his position coach and reviews every play they played, going over every move they made in ultra high definition and in slow motion on a massive TV screen. So a movie of yourself, if you will. And from our perspective, it gets better. Even though each game is 60 minutes long, the average NFL game only has 22 minutes or so of actual action. Again, like snaps and running and all that stuff, right? The clock continues to run on any play that isn't an incomplete pass or the play ending in someone going out of bounds, a penalty, or a timeout. So the clock is still rolling and each player only plays roughly half the game on offense or defense. So this means, if you think about it, the time a player actually played is at most 11 minutes.
Yeah, like 11 minutes of doing your job, let's say, the day before. And that's the best part. But players who play that much, like 11 minutes, let's say, in the previous day's game, offensive or defensive starters, get 90 minutes with their coach to go over their 11 minutes of actual playing time. The player and their coach go over each play multiple times, as you'd have to if it's 90 minutes and you only have 11 minutes of tape to be looking at, in ultra high definition, slow motion. That's roughly 8 minutes per play for a play that may have only lasted like 10 to 15 seconds all in all. And they do it over and over again and again and again and again. They talk about body position, where their eyes are looking, what their hands are doing, where their feet are, what their torso's doing, where their center of gravity is, all of it.
Yeah. And okay, then you're thinking, why? Well, of course, because the player's physical play, body, hands, arms, eyes, feet, angle of torso, all matter in the context of that play. Imagine just the inertia needed to get these guys moving. Their bodies are massive. They are having to change direction. They're moving quickly. These things are going so fast, like the plays are going so fast, and the players have to respond. If you are bent too far over, guess what? You can't get there in enough seconds, really, to make the catch.
Milliseconds.
Exactly. Or if your hands aren't up high enough, then you won't be able to grab that guy, or down low enough. Ostensibly, I don't know. I don't know a lot about where your hands are supposed to be. All of these things matter because they're playing against someone every bit as good as them. And again, the best of the world. And the other player that they're against is, because they really, genuinely, most players are up against a single other person who is ostensibly designed to thwart them. Like the idea is that like there's this other guy. It is essentially one-on-one, hand-to-hand combat. At a very granular level, really, there's a guy and they're trying to deny what you want. Okay, this is so funny. I just remembered that when I was in high school, our soccer shirts, like our, we had these like long sleeve workout shirts.
Yeah.
And on the back, it said, our goal is to deny yours, which is, here we go. That's it's a microcosm of every single NFL game. Individuals making choices and taking actions that, when summed with the rest of their teammates' efforts, either lead to a successful play or do not. And that means that 6 inches to the left or 2 inches, and in the NFL, 2 inches forward is the difference between the Super Bowl or not a winning season.
Exactly. And the NFL provides these tools for coaching staffs to go over the plays of every single player on every single play in ultra high definition, slow motion, because players make plays and plays lead to points or don't, and points lead to wins or not, and wins lead to championships or not.
If you're the Saints, it's or not.
Yeah, or not. And it's in the NFL's best interest for these individuals, these players, to be at the top of their game and stay at the top of their game, investing this kind of money, this kind of resources into ensuring their people are the best of the best is important. That's what keeps people watching.
Yeah, and I will say, I'm sorry, Saints. I shouldn't have sassed you like that. That was rude. We did win one time. It was really great. And I'm still on your team all these years later, waiting for another exciting year. And it's so sad. If you're a corporate manager, you're thinking, okay, they're looking to correct mistakes. They do this so that they can point out flaws, errors, et cetera, so that these errors can be corrected. That would be a reasonable assumption, and you're wrong. You're wrong. NFL teams have learned that if every player knows that all he's going to hear is all of his mistakes, then it's a grueling experience and unpleasant. Coaches used to do that when this technology first came out, and it didn't work nearly as well as the way they do it now. Coaches have learned that if their negative feedback is going to be well received, they must point out all of the good actions the player took as well.
Yeah. I mean, we say it all the time. You got to do the positive before you do the negative. Folks, even the NFL knows that positive feedback must precede and outweigh the negative feedback they're going to give. Pointing out a professional's flaws without acknowledging and rewarding their successes destroys trust, reduces enthusiasm, and causes individuals to want to do less well for you in the future. It breaks people down.
Right. And we know they did something right. We know they did well. They're here, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that we are not speaking about the positives means that we're almost ignoring the obvious. It's like we're purposely putting it aside. And when we did our research and spoke with an NFL coach about this process, he pointed out something powerful about the response players have to this level of scrutiny and feedback. And so paraphrased, this is what he shared with us. There's three types of players in the NFL. There's the bottom 10 to 20% of the league's players. Their play is not exceptional and they know it. They dread these sessions. They're disengaged, even sulky about the experience. They don't ask questions. They don't ask for guidance. They just endure the day after video coaching sessions. These guys are out of the league in 1 to 2 years. Then there's the middle.
Yeah, like the 70 to 80% of players. They come to sessions, but they don't have an intense attitude about their learning, pay attention, but wouldn't be called deeply engaged. Sometimes they ask questions, sometimes not. Sometimes they ask for guidance, and sometimes not.
But then there's the top 10% of players in the league. They come to their sessions early. They've likely reviewed their own tape before they sat down with their coach. They ask questions. They're intensely focused. They ask for opinions, ideas. Even on their good plays, they ask what they could have done better. They radiate a learning, questioning intensity about their own performance. They learn from their successes and failures, both. And when their session is done, they ask to go through it all again. In its entirety, perhaps with another coach or a player to bounce ideas off of. And these are the players who are going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that sounds right. It's very similar to our lives at work. Some people respond really well and some people don't. And who's your top performers versus who is not kind of fall into those three patterns as well.
And I have often said when we were giving feedback that it's easier to give top performers negative feedback because they're already awesome and they know they're awesome and they want to get better. The thing is, all of the guys in the NFL should know they're awesome. There's not enough people in the world doing this job for somebody, even, you know, the lower guys in the NFL to not realize, hey, I am in rarefied air. And some people, even knowing that they're super great, are not open to getting better or feedback or not aware of the fact that, hey, being awesome doesn't mean that there isn't room for improvement. Sorry to interrupt y'all. Graduation season is upon us. Set that new grad up for success with a suite of tools designed to help them excel. Help them land a role with our resume workbook and the interviewing series. Help them ace that job with our first job fundamentals and effective relationship series. all part of a career tools license. Learn more today by visiting us online at manager-tools.com/licenses. So we wanted to share this with y'all because we love football. No, because it is, we think, one of the most impressive examples of an entire system of feedback designed to improve performance while maintaining trust. And we love it. And you're likely thinking two things. First, you're thinking, hey, it's great for players at that level in a system focused on individual performance leading to team success. And maybe you're thinking it's possible or it's impossible to recreate that in a typical organizational workplace. And you're probably right. Normal managers, executives, and leaders, we don't have access to that kind of technology or focus. But of course, that's not the point. The second thing you might be thinking is the right way to think about this, which is, oh my gosh, I'm not delivering nearly enough feedback.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of blaming the lack of supporting systems, video, replay, individual meetings, hey, as an effective manager, it might be more useful to realize that we do have opportunities that we can take advantage of. There's reporting, there's metrics, and we know what we need to do, even if it's just verbal feedback based on measured job performance. We said it a million times, the manager tools feedback model is designed not for directs, but for managers. It's simple, effective, and efficient way, just like the NFL's more complex and complete system, to talk to people about their performance.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's built for. It's really built to make your job easier. It should take no more than 15 to 20 seconds to give a piece of feedback. But too many of us just don't do it. And what we hear is it's hard. It's so hard to give feedback. It takes time, even if it's only like 10 seconds of time. Also, hey, it's super uncomfortable, like really awkward. But it's surely not as uncomfortable, I would venture to guess, as those NFL players who are literally so uncomfortable due to physical pain from being beat up on the day before that they can't fully do their job 2 days in a row. I mean,
right.
Your folks don't need a rest day every time they do their job. Some people do.
Imagine if you aren't feeling good, like your body hurts. Like,
yeah.
Right? Well, you don't have to imagine. But imagine if you have like the flu and your whole body is hurting and you're maybe not in a headspace where you want to hear, hey, this is something you could have done better. And that's what these guys are doing. They actually show up. They're in physical pain and they show up to get told, hey, you could have done better. And you know why? Because every single person, every single day could do better in some area. And we're not saying you're not doing great. We're saying everybody has room for improvement. The NFL is teaching us that we're not doing our job in talking about performance with our directs. We have the tools and we're not using them. And we're all guilty of this. All of us, again, have room for improvement in delivering feedback within our system.
Yeah. So today is a day we can make a change.
Mm-hmm.
There's a path forward. It's an easy path forward. More feedback, more positive feedback first, and more often. When someone performs to your standard, give them positive feedback. Show them you're paying attention. Show them that that was important, even if it's just tiny and minuscule. It made some change in your life that was noticeable. You might not have as much data as live videos
right. Delivered
to you via satellite could give you.
I want a satellite.
I know, me too. But folks, don't blame a system you don't have. Work with the tools you do have. And you've got plenty of tools.
Yeah. A simple way to do this is pick a different direct every week to walk out of your staff meeting with and tell them what they did well during the meeting. So as you all are leaving, pick a person, walk with them, tell them what they did well, tell them what they could improve. Spend time in every one-on-one giving feedback. Write it down. Don't wait for patterns. Don't wait for big wins. Focus on small things. I often remind myself that the standard is high. It doesn't mean that the bar for positive feedback has to be super high. In fact, the bar for positive feedback can be, did they do anything today that you want them to do again tomorrow? Once you've asked that question, there is a plethora of behaviors that your team is engaging in that could be opportunities for positive feedback. Small things build trust. Show them that you're paying attention, that you're not only seeing the mistakes. For top performers, give them even more feedback. Please don't make the rookie mistake of only focusing on poor performers. When your top direct asks for communication about their performance, tell them what you think. Even if you didn't follow the feedback model precisely, just share with them, communicate with them, suggest ways they can do even better. When they ask for more, give it to them and teach them how to respond to your feedback. When, if they ask and then maybe they're not ready, like not perfectly prepared, hey, let's keep moving forward. Let's keep adjusting. Let's keep getting better. And don't miss the value for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. This analogy, the NFL analogy, doesn't just work for you as a manager giving feedback to others. It's also about you as a recipient of feedback. Seek out feedback. Be one of the folks in the future Hall of Famer category and ask your boss regularly for feedback. When you do get it, positive or negative, say thank you. Even if it's not delivered perfectly, I assure that you won't be delivered to you perfectly or the exact way you want it. But what we can probably ensure is that the person delivering it is probably not incredibly comfortable giving it. So even if delivered to you poorly, be thankful for having gotten it at all. If you're thankful, you'll get more. If you're defensive and push back, you probably won't get more. Behave happily when you get it, especially the negative. Remember your successes and repeat them. Work on areas where you failed. Don't dismiss feedback because your boss doesn't understand or she wasn't there or they couldn't do your job anyway. Because remembering back to the football analogy, most NFL coaches couldn't do the job of their players. But the best players don't let that fact get in the way of their own development.
And we don't need anybody writing in to say something about Harbaughs as coaches. And nope, we know. Okay. And I'm not sassing the Harbaughs, although I will if you let me. If you have managers working for you, insist upon them giving feedback to their people. Ask your skips individually and in skip level meetings who got feedback in the past week and what was it about and how often do they get that feedback. Hold your managers accountable for giving more feedback. The coach of an NFL team has to ask the position coaches to do this. We've talked about skip blindness before. Let's fight through it, especially in this case, so that we can have a higher performing workplace, that we can be the NFL. Heaven forbid that there is a potential future Hall of Famer in your organization and your manager isn't helping them to achieve it by increasing their ability to perform.
That's exactly it. So folks, to wrap it all up, professionals who want to be great, seek out feedback. Managers whom they work for are expected to deliver feedback. Leaders who manage managers are expected to hold those managers accountable for feedback. You may not have the NFL's resources, but the fundamentals of feedback are available to you all. Complaining about what you don't have is not the answer. As the U.S. Marines say, do what you can with what you have where you are right now.
But not in Denver, Sean Payton. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate.
That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week as we cover a new topic. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to follow, rate, review our podcast. It helps more people find us and keeps the conversation going. Have a great one. Bye, y'all.
Bye, everyone.